spring. I know that it's actually a month and a couple days away, but that was nice. That was nice. Yesterday was nice. Yeah. Yeah. And with it so nice and sunny and everything, what better subject than the judgment of the whole world? You know, that's where we are. We're going to talk about the righteous judgment of God on the whole world. And it's Revelation chapter 6, that's where we are. Revelation chapter 6, I didn't put that up there. And you know, what Revelation does from here on, it tells about the judgments of God upon the world, and it tells it several times. And it intensifies as it goes. So chapter 6 is a telling of the whole thing in one chapter. And then chapter 7 and on it goes, the retelling. But it's very important that we remember where we were. That chapter 4 and 5 set the stage of the throne room of God. And you have at the center of the throne, there's the Lord God Almighty, right? And out of the midst of that throne comes the Lamb of God, who looked as though he's been slain. And only the Lamb of God has authority to open up the seals of a scroll that is written. That scroll is God's plan. Here's the thing. You know, we live in a rebellious world. We live in a world that is broken. People are not following God. The picture of heaven was that you had the center of the throne, then you had the four living beings. And those beings had all the representation of creation. And then you had the 24 elders around there, the human leaders, right? And eventually you fill the room up with saints and you fill the room up with angels. And everyone in that heavenly picture knows what to do. They all bow down before God. They all, the leaders, throw their crowns down and say, you know, Lord, you are the one. You are the one who has made anything we do happen that's good. All good things come from God. And so all heaven understands God should be God. God should be worshiped. God should be obeyed. God should be followed. And what we have around here, around, not in this room, of course, but in this world, is people that don't want to recognize God, don't want to follow God. A world that's in rebellion. A world that's really surrounded and immersed in sin. And it gets worse and worse as time goes on. So when you have the unsnapping of these seven seals, remember there are seven seals, and each one is snapped open, and each one brings about an element of judgment and justice for that corrupted world, right? So we have to set that. We have to set that. So God is going to show us the response to our broken world. The four horsemen. It starts off with the first four seals are four horsemen. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say in a loud voice, a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Now, the white horse is the one that's given the least amount of description, and there's a lot, you know, more of possibilities. I simply look at this as spiritual warfare. All the horses represent a trouble in the world. None of them are positive. They're all negative. And here you have a horse, you know, it's white, and white is usually the color for righteousness. And so you have to say, well, a negative sense of right would be a false righteousness, a false religion, spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. And he's set on conquest. He's set on you know, conquering through false religion, twisted heresies of Christianity. And he's conquering many souls all over the world. I remember one time when I was flying back from Russia. And you go over all of Europe, you go over, you know, and you just realize all below you, for the most part, these people are not following God. They're not listening to God. They're not looking into God's word. They're following some other either corrupted sense of you know, Christianity, or some pagan religion or secular humanist idea, philosophy. And so you realize how broken the world is. And that's why I think this white horse is that horse. It's that it's going out and it's bringing about judgment. What this does is it you know, what does it do for us? It tests us. It tests us. Like all of these things that we're going to see, it tests us. It tests us. Do you really hold on to the truth? Or are you going to let, you know, some of the heresy creep in to the point that you no longer know God? That's what happened, remember, to the Jewish people. By the time God showed up in Jesus, they were so far off the track that they didn't recognize him and they killed him, right? That's what heresy does. That's what false religion does. It makes it so you don't recognize God. And it's a test for true believers that we would hold to the faith in the spite of all the other witnesses about who God is and all that. We believe in the scripture. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the things that God has laid out before us. And we have, you know, his sustaining spirit to help us and all that. But there is a battle. There's a spiritual warfare. There's a spiritual battle going on. Our country is feeling it. Our culture is feeling it, I think, more intensely than it was, you know, two generations ago. It's been getting worse and worse in this area. But the first seal broken, the first, you know, judgment on the world is false religion, false Christianity, a falsehood that you know, denies God. Then the Lamb opened the second seal, and I heard the second living creature say, "Come," and there was another horse that came out, and he was fiery red, and its rider was given power to take peace from the earth, to make men slay each other, to him was given a large sword. So here you have war, and war, like all of these different judgments, they exist. They've always existed. They've always been a part of the fallen world. They're there, and sometimes they get really intense, and sometimes they're not as bad, right? That judgment, it waxes and wanes, it grows and diminishes, but it's a judgment. It's a judgment against you know, again, a broken world. Look at our world. I don't know how many wars are going on right now, how many places on this planet are right now in upheaval, people, you know, making war against each other, nation against nation. It's a test. It's also a call to repentance, like all these things. It's a call to repentance. You know, they used to say about the military, there were no atheists in foxholes. When you're out there on a field and someone's looking to take your life, it makes you kind of measure up. You know, the idea of if you were to die today, what will happen to you becomes a more present reality than some distant thought. And so it's also an idea or an opportunity to repent. It's an idea, you know, it says, oh, maybe I need to get in touch with God. Maybe I've got to answer those questions sooner than later instead of putting it off. But on the other side, it also just, you know, shows that this world is not a stable place. This world is not, you know, I went to Africa a few years back and we went to a safe country in Africa, safer because it wasn't so like ready for upheaval or there wasn't going to be military strife or something going on. Because so much of that continent, you know, they have those troubles where all of a sudden trouble rises up and you know, we've had lots of people get killed. In this, you know, in our lifetime, in our generation, there have been a lot of battles over there as well. So the idea of the fiery red war going on. Then the Lamb opened the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and it was a black horse. And its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard what sounded like a voice coming from the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the oil and the wine." This is about economies being broken. Think about, you know, what's he saying, you know, a quart of wheat and all that. It's like, a hamburger costs $50. Oh, okay, now I get it. Now I get it. That's what he's saying. It's a day's wages for enough food to not feed a family. It's a day's wages that won't make it so you can survive. The economies, you know, they break. One of the things that this should teach every one of us is that you know, there's no safety in money. Money, you know, I remember, again, I'm giving a little history lessons here. World War II, right before Germany went to war, their money became worthless. Story about a man taking a wheelbarrow full of cash to the store to buy a loaf of bread. And he went into the store, and when he came out, the cash was laying on the ground. The wheelbarrow was gone because the cash was worth nothing. Their money was so deflated, so inflated that you know, they couldn't buy food with their money. Economies come and go. Like in the last, you know, 15 years, we've had two or three, you know, crashes in our markets, and we've had unemployment, we've had recessions. There's the depression. They called the last recession the Great Recession. But these economies, they go up and down. They're not stable. They're not trustworthy. When things go well, it's great. You know, we have enough to take care of our families. We might even have enough, and we should learn, you know, to be, one, thankful, you know, for everything that we have. Two, generous if we have more than we need. But on the other hand, we also know that it's not permanent, that nothing in this world, and especially economies and money, it isn't permanent. It doesn't last forever. It only lasts at most through a lifetime, at best, till the next crash happens. So you have this judgment of the instability of the economic system, that, you know, people who know the Lord should learn to trust in God, right? We got that on our dollar bills, right? In God we trust. Yeah, why? Because you can't trust the green stuff. You know, it's really, well, it's not really paper, but, you know, it's paper and ink. That's all it is. People are trusting in ones and zeros. Now we don't even have, you know, we don't even have paper and ink. It's all cyber stuff, right? And people are trusting. They're putting their lives into that. And the reality is somebody pulls the plug on the right machine and it all goes away. It's gone. So don't trust in it. Don't put your life into it. Don't invest yourself in it. It's not stable. It's not stable. Trust in God. That's the lesson of this judgment. Again, do you think in the kingdom of heaven, any of these things, in the kingdom of heaven, will there be any spiritual warfare? No. In the kingdom of heaven, will there be war? No. In the kingdom of heaven, will the economy be absolutely stable? Yes, absolutely. But not here. Not now. It's a judgment because of sin. Because sin exists in this world, it's a judgment that comes upon us. One of the things I want to, you know, talk about is that each one of these, it is the Lamb of God who breaks the seal. Remember, only He is able to snap the seal. Nobody else in heaven was able to do this. And then from the throne, right, there's the four living creatures. And it's one of those living creatures. So He snaps the seal, and then one of the living creatures connected to creation cries out, "Come!" And then the horse comes. There's this structure of authority that we see going on here. That every one of these is something that comes as God's judgment upon this broken world. God's judgment upon the broken world. And, you know, we see the fourth one. The Lamb of God opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, before me was a pale horse. It's like a gross greenish looking. It's the color of a corpse. That's what it is. I saw a pale horse, and his name and his rider's name Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, famine, and plague, and by wild beasts of the earth. So here you have the idea of disease, famine. Gangsterism, you know, the idea of what's happening, like in Chicago, how many people are dying, what's happening here in the 90s, where kids were killing each other on our streets and what have you. That whole idea, you know, that we see this every night if you watch the news, which some of us are smart enough not to watch, you know. You see all this horrible stuff going on. It's also a reminder of, again, the brokenness of the world, right? It's a reminder of the futility of trusting in humanity. We will not fix every disease. We are not going to beat every, I don't know how many billions of dollars will be poured into research before we finally realize we're never going to defeat everything that kills us. We are going to die. And you know, so you have disease as a reminder, and death coming by, you know, again, the gangsters and stuff. People die because of famines, because of plague, right? the whole idea is, you know, just I was thinking about the diamond industry and what happened in Africa again, where the blood diamonds, where people, I mean, the brutality of that whole area. It was grotesque what they did to people. I don't want to get into details here, but you can look it up. It's really a violent. That's why people, you know, of conscience quit buying diamonds for a while, because of what they were doing to people for these nasty little pieces of rock, right? But so you have this judgment. So here it is. You have these four judgments. Again, I got to remind you, every one of these comes because of sin. Everyone is you know, invited. Again, none of this will exist in the kingdom of heaven, but all of it comes here. Each one is summoned from the throne of God. It's, you know, when we look at the world around us, we say, man, you know, why is all this stuff happening? And people will even try to accuse God. How can you serve a God who allows this or allows that? But it's not because God, you know, disrupted the universe. It's because sin destroyed what God was doing. Sin tried to get in the way of God's plan. And so sin is the problem, not God. But God has the solution, and that right now is this mix of judgments that are coming. Each one comes, again, from the Lamb to the four living creatures, to the creation. Each always exists. They're always a part of, they are a part of this broken world. You are not going to do away with war. You are not going to do away with financial instability. You're not going to do away with spiritual warfare. You know, we're not going to coexist, okay? You're not going to do away with disease and plague. It is going to be a part of this evil realm, because as Paul called it, this present evil age deserves this judgment. But these judgments have two purposes. First of all, they test the heart of humanity, all right? Now listen, think about this. When we go through things, when we go through, you know, sickness, when we see death, okay, what do? We give up, throw in the towel, curse God, you know? No, we summon up faith to endure. Yeah, when we go through financial issues, whether it's good or bad, when we're doing well and we have more than we need, do we think, oh, good, we'll sit back and relax now, and, you know, or do we stand before Almighty God and realize that stuff is only temporary, and listen to God and let Him coach us on how to help and how to be generous and open-handed as He is, right? And when we don't have enough, what do? We say, you know what, Lord, I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave this world naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, mighty God, it's not about what I have in my pocket. It's about what I have in my heart. And it's Jesus Christ, right? It tests us. Every one of those things test us. And at the same time, it's a judgment against the worldly. It's a judgment against those who want to ignore God. I thought my money was going to do something for me. I mean, you look at these rich athletes or rich, you know, movie stars or different people that have lots of money, and how unhappy they are. They're doing drugs. They're getting arrested. If money and that you know, worldly stuff made you happy, why would they be getting in trouble? Why are they still off the hook? Because it doesn't do anything for their soul. It doesn't do anything about who they are. They find out that their dreams were empty because they're based on nothing, based on paper, based on temporary stuff, right? So it tests, it calls sinners to repent. When, you know, just think about it. If a person had a lot of money and then they lost the money because of a downturn or something, it should cause them to say, you know what? I've been trusting in the wrong thing. God, help me to do better. Help me to lift my eyes up to something stronger, more stable. Help me to live with God instead of, you know, with this worldly stuff. They don't do it. They don't do it very often. It testifies that everything in this world is shakable. That everything in this world is shakable. That there's nothing that you would invest your life in that is stable in this world except for Jesus Christ, except for Almighty God. It tests, again, us. and it judges the earth dwellers. Now the next seal, then he opened the fifth seal. And I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each one of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. So here you have the fifth seal. There's the judgments taking place in the world. And then there's the judgments that the world had exacted upon the people of God. You had Nero. Nero killed Paul. He killed Peter. He killed hundreds of Christians. He would light them on fire to light his gardens. He did horrible things to just because they were Christian. He blamed them for burning Rome. And he murdered Christians. At the time that this was written, it was written during the reign of Domitian, and Domitian was just as evil. He was a self-deifying person. He called himself God. He made all the images in Rome look like him, so people would worship him as God, right? And he persecuted Christians. He put them in prison. He killed them. And that's when the book of Revelation was written, was during his reign. And here you have this idea of these people that had held on to the word of God. They'd held on to the testimony of who Jesus is. They'd held on even to the point of being executed by the state, executed by a broken world, a twisted sense of justice, right? And they're now in the altar under the image in the temple is there's an altar right before the Holy of Holies. It's an altar of prayer. Right. And so here are these saints are calling out, "Lord, how long? How long until you avenge it?" In other words, how long till you set this straight? That's the question. And that's what the book of Revelation answers. How long, O Lord? Listen, in our lifetime, some of us, if we hold on to Jesus Christ, if we walk sincerely with him, if we hold to his word, his testimony, we're going to have abuse. We're going to have people look down on us, call us names, do even worse to us, right? Because this world is hostile to Jesus Christ. It really is. It's hostile to Jesus Christ. And what God does here, it's amazing, is he tells them, you've got to wait. You've got to endure. Remember what he tell every church? Endure, overcome, endure, endure, right? And here he puts on white robes on them. What does that mean? Righteousness. What is he doing? He says the world has counted you guilty. The world has said you're guilty because you held to the name of Jesus. I am declaring you innocent. Here from the throne of God, he overturns the corrupt verdict of the Roman government. And he says, you're not guilty. You are righteous because you've held to the testimony of Jesus Christ. You've held to the word of God. And then he tells them, it'll be over when the last of your brothers dies for the cause of Christ. We know this. We say the thing is, how does God mark time? Does God care that it's 2001, 2010, 2017? No, God doesn't care about that. What God's looking at are the souls of people. He knows how many will fill the kingdom of God. He knows the name of the last person who will be born to fill up the kingdom of God. And when that person comes and when that person is done, then it's over. That's all God's waiting for. That's the only reason why this realm exists. The only reason why this world exists is for God to fill heaven. And God is waiting for that last person to call upon the name of Jesus. To trust in him, right? Okay, one more seal. And I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. The stars in the sky fell to earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and every island was removed from its place. Again, this is a cosmic decreation. It is God wiping out the whole of heaven and earth. I remember when I was in college, we lived by our campus was right by an orange grove, and in the late summer, oranges would just start falling off the trees because they ripe, and then they fall. And that's what he said. The stars in heaven are going to be like that. They're just going to fall like the leaves do around here in the fall, right? They start falling down. That's what he's describing. The stars in the heaven are going to fall. Every place that a person can inhabit will be wiped away. Think about this. The judgments that are out there right now, the judgments of spiritual warfare, of economic warfare, of war and plague and famine, all those judgments. And then God just basically rips the whole universe out from under. My goodness. What have you trusted in? What have you loved? What's left? Think about that. In that hour, in that day, what's left of it? Everything that you love, everything that you might think is precious and wonderful and holding your life together, what's left after this picture? Only God. Only God. And then the last part of it. The kings of the earth and the princes, the generals, the rich and mighty, and every slave and every free man. That covers every socioeconomic person on the planet. Kings and maids, if you will. Okay? From the server at McDonald's to Don Trump in the White House. Okay? Everyone, every earth dweller, every person who has loved the world, every person who has loved money, every person who has loved things of this present evil age and not thought about God. Every one of them. This is about them. It says they hid in caves among the rocks and mountains, and they called the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us. They want to be buried alive. Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. See, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made us to be his children. And we've rebelled. We've created this mess called the world around us. And there's a de-creation that happens. And there's a day of judgment that comes. And the last line is, for the great day of their wrath has come, who can stand? Who can stand? Who can stand when Almighty God destroys heaven and earth and there's nothing left of this world? Who can stand When all of the forces of this universe are turned upside down and ripped apart? Who can stand? Who can stand? We who endure the world's trouble, we who stand through the judgments and hold on to the testimony of the Lamb, hold on to the Word of God, and hold on to the name of Jesus, we stand. We who remain faithful no matter what comes. We who bless the name of Jesus Christ. Naked I came into the world. Naked I shall depart from this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord and blessed be Jesus Christ, my Savior. We will stand. We who hold to the name, the testimony of Jesus, the Word of God, we will stand. I want to be standing at the end. And that's the message of Revelation. The message isn't just the destruction of the world. It's a call to be right-minded, be godly, be righteous, be with God, and be able to stand at the end. Amen? Amen. Amen.